I'm back. I'm sure nobody missed me. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is one Jeremy Mays.
What a terrible way to start the show. I thought you were doing some sort of getting your voice up to snuff or something. Well, of course we miss you, Kevin. It was a whole week. And last week, everyone had to deal with Chris and I doing a show together, which I think was good. I don't know.
I've got to admit, I did not listen to anything in my time away from the Stunt Granny office. So, yeah, we didn't really have too much time to sit down and listen to some podcasts. All the rain that was forecast for our travel pretty much didn't happen. So I am obviously in no way going to argue, and thank goodness. But you did want to bring up a podcast that came out today.
Well, since you mentioned it, where exactly were you in Georgia?
St. Simon's Island. It's in the Golden Isles. It's we drove up an hour from Jacksonville to go there. So, and I think maybe about 30 miles or something of that drive was in Florida.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, maybe about half the drive was in Florida, half was in Georgia. So, it's pretty far south. I don't know. It seems like it was a pretty quiet place until somewhat recently, it would seem. Because even this one teenager that was working the candy store had said that it started to get really commercial the last few years.
Well, the kid in the candy store is not going to be wrong, I suppose. So, oh, is this near Jekyll Island?
We went over to Jekyll Island, in fact.
That's where Elise has always wanted to go. She's mentioned it. At least I think she said Jekyll Island.
Yeah, because that was the other thing. Well, and since you were very rude to me on Instagram,
you're such an ass.
I was thinking about not giving you a fine beverage I brought back. I thought that it was Jekyll Island, the beer, but it was just Jekyll Brewing, which is actually out of Alpharetta, which is just outside of Atlanta. So it's not actually from Jekyll Island.
That would have been a surprise.
But, yeah, I do have a beverage for you that I will bring down at some juncture. Because you might have seen the picture. It was the Pineapple Habanero
yes.
Hop Dinger IPA. I really liked it. Like, You almost, at least in that one, you almost couldn't tell that it was hoppy.
I had one like that over the weekend. It was a pineapple IPA. Who the hell was it from? It was one of the local ones. But no. It was from Sweetwater.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was odd because it didn't have a lot of pineapple flavor, but it had it. Whatever the acid in the pineapple mixed with the hop or whatever, and it kind of smoothed it out.
Oh,
it was really kind of strange. So, yeah, going coastal from Sweetwater. That's what it was.
Yeah,
so.
I did see that out there.
Well, that's one we kind of blew when we were at WrestleMania in Atlanta. We did not go to Sweetwater. Of course, I don't remember if they were open or not.
I don't think they're downtown either. I think they're out of town.
We actually passed them on the MARTA.
Oh, okay.
Going out to the airport. Which might have been another reason we didn't go out there.
Yeah, that's... I think that's... Because I don't think it was, like... Since we did stay a lot of in the downtown area, I don't think we would have gone there, honestly.
Yeah, because that's when we stayed out in Buckhead.
Right.
And we had no car, and where Sweetwater was, if I remember right, I didn't really want to be walking around where it was. So, Maybe it would have been better when we were there for UFC, but since we got caught, I tore up the first night. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I was kind of bummed. All the beers down in that area were all Atlanta beers, because what is that? Oh, they didn't have any in the area. So there were a lot of new Atlanta ones I hadn't seen. But the guy also mentioned at the Growlers station that I stopped at that, you've got to distributors only distribute through a certain state. So Jacksonville has some breweries, but they can't send their beer up the, 30 minutes up the coast.
Yep.
Because of the way the distributors are set up. So it would make sense to get some of those beers, but they can't. So that kind of sucked. Although I guess most of those breweries are pretty new, from what the guy was telling me.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody. We were in Savannah last year. One of the bartenders. We were asking about locals, and Savannah's got a couple, but then they mentioned Jacksonville for some reason too, and it was almost as if they, like, Georgia could go down to Jacksonville, but getting stuff out of Jacksonville, like the distributors, whatever else, was a pain in the ass or something like that.
Oh.
I wish I could remember.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was really weird. The laws here, well, I'm in North Carolina, but the laws here for beer, let's not, but the beer distribution laws here are just strange. They're trying to fight them, too. Because brew so much over a certain amount, which I can't remember, you have to give up distribution rights to a different distributor. You can't distribute it yourself.
Oh, yeah, I feel like Ohio has something similar.
Yeah, it's just dumb. But anyways, I don't know where to start. What wrestling you saw, what wrestling you didn't?
Well, I did catch the two essential matches from the pay-per-view. So, since we do tend to start old to new, it was just kind of interesting. I had read some stuff online since another Penguins game was on at that time. I watched that instead of, tried to watch that. That's another topic that I could bring up. I have no idea who can just do streaming. I'm just going to say that sometimes my Wi-Fi is a little glitchy, even here, even though it's very good. Trying to just watch stuff online, I think, would drive me bananas. Especially in the game situation, which I did once. It just buffered so much.
Experience I've had with sports, at least. Really, even Netflix, too. I haven't really had that many problems. What were you streaming on your...
The game. On Sunday night, I was streaming the game. So no, that's why I couldn't...
Tablet?
My Mac.
Oh.
The Wi-Fi wasn't the best at the hotel. I will admit to that much.
Gotcha.
But it was just really tough. But but I come to think of it, after you said that, we've watched the NCAA tournament games at our office, and it's been fine, actually.
Yep.
So, never mind. Maybe it's just the shoddy connection that was doing me in.
Well, to go back to Extreme Rules.
Oh, yeah. So, I ended up watching... I was surprised by the reception, I guess. Like, when I was reading about the night, everyone seemed to go with... the four-way match easily for the best match of the night. And you told me to watch the main event, and I had wanted to anyway. So I did, and it was... I guess I always end up liking a singles match better than a multi-man match.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not even anyone's fault in a multi-man match. Like, if I have two that are kind of almost on the same level of quality, I'm always going to lean to the singles match. So, I mean, I like the main event more than I liked the four-way match.
I'm with you on that one. I mean, and Even if the ending was predictable, I enjoyed it a lot more. I mean, I don't know. I think it's almost easier. Maybe some of them disagree, but I think it's easier to have a better match with more people in it than a match with only two. When you have four people, you have four people throwing around ideas. And I'm not going to try and do the math, but, you know, if you have an idea for each person, and then one person has an idea for this group of people, and then this group and that, you're going to have a multitude of opportunities, which can also blow up in your face. Well, then we got a singles match, and it's like the guys, you know, you really got to work to get things over. And that's why I thought the main event did pretty well. I mean, Roman Reigns came off looking like a badass monster. And AJ Styles looked like the resilient, you know,
underdog.
I don't want to say small guy, not even an underdog really, but just resilient. I mean, it took a phenomenal finisher to put him away.
Yeah. I mean, it took him a couple of three tables.
some close. I mean, and not even the table bumps. Those were pretty vicious. I mean, they were rather spectacular.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he took a big beating. Like, I mean, if there was any doubt about, I guess, his quality in Vince McMahon's eyes, like, I'm not quite sure what else you could do to prove yourself than have that kind of match. Like, because, you know, he still is in charge and Styles still is. I mean, he's the only guy that just went straight to the roster. Well, I guess Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah.
But
we've talked about that before. They don't have the stink of TNA on them, so they were allowed to go. I mean, Joe still has to get it washed off. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never once thought AJ Styles was going to win. But they did enough in that match to make it seem like, well, wait a second. Am I wrong in this? Like, they can't not say they're going to pull the plug on Reigns, but were they going to abort like his first significant title run that quickly on some of those near falls? And it made it pretty exciting. And you know, you got the the only criticism I have of the match is the Usos and Anderson and Gallows interfering.
Oh.
Anderson and Gallows got knocked out with essentially super kicks, and that was it. You didn't see them anymore, where the Usos got beat up, then came back again. So it was kind of strange. I mean, then they got their asses handed to them by AJ Styles with the chairs, and they didn't, you know.
Yeah, they didn't come
really
back
see
from
too
that
much
one,
again, but.
Yeah,
that was just kind of, that was my only criticism is how easily Anderson and Gallows were taken out.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. How quickly? Because at least Gallows had to take the double super kick, but the encounters have been a little too brief in some ways for those guys. Just in general for me. Well, and that, you know what? That's one match I did not see at the pay-per-view. I just, because by the time the game was over, I had flipped on, some of the matches had already started on the replay.
Okay.
So I just watched from wherever they were on. So I think I missed the first couple of matches. And then I made it until the Asylum match and just passed out finally.
Dude, that
So I have not actually watched the that match. I mean, I obviously saw the result, and Jericho is the champ for doing what he did.
Okay, so I know we're gonna jump. I'm so happy you said this because no one is talking about the work Jericho is doing. I mean, and you know, questionable booking with him going over AJ Styles, whatever.
Yeah, it didn't seem to hurt Styles at all by the end of this feud, as we just illustrated.
And I've seen some criticism of Jericho for going over AJ Styles, and then now last night going over Apollo Crews, when you know he's lost to AJ Styles on TV, he lost 2 pay-per-view matches to Dean Ambrose, which is another thing. Can we call these pay-per-views anymore?
Yeah, you keep on lobbying for that.
You know,
but I'll tell you what, when I went to go watch it on the network today, it has in-ring, and off to the left, there's a tab that's called pay-per-views. So,
okay.
Until they change that, I will, I'll call them that.
Okay, that's fine with me. So, Jericho's work, since going heel, like full-fledged heel, has been great. He's still keeping that little bit of nerdiness by calling everyone an idiot, which is just grating by now. It's like, it's such a tool thing to say.
Yeah.
And, like, try to be serious about it. But then he's got enough, like, smarm to him to where, you know, he is like, the veteran, whatever, that, you know, disgruntled veteran, old-time veteran, whatever, that the work's been great. And no one is talking about how good he's been.
Yeah, we've brought it up a little bit. And I think at this point it just needs to, like you're kind of stating here, go a little more on record. Because he's been a lot of fun here recently. And that was not really the best conceived match. It did kind of have a little bit of TNA stink. Since we've been throwing around that term already. So even without seeing it, you know, I think that much can be said. But yeah, Jericho has really been, on, and I'm trying to think, I'm trying to remember how to pull it up here. His response on, online there to, someone saying that he shouldn't have gone over Apollo Crews.
Did he say that I buried him, jackass, or something like that? That's so damn funny.
Yeah, like, even online, he's had some good comebacks. And that was certainly one of them. I'm trying to pull it up here, but...
I don't know. I know, like, the feud with him and Ambrose was kind of weird because it started over a plant and then his $15,000 jacket that was going to go in the Smithsonian. It's almost as if he's combining characters from his goofy WCW run, you know, when he was the man of 1,001 holds, and then his suit wear in Jericho, where he's the best in the world. He's mixing the two of them, and he's entertaining as hell. Even, you know, we mentioned it too, how he was wearing a vest with no shirt and skinny jeans, and he's supposed to be the good guy. No, sir. You are not the good guy, is that? Well, now that he's a bad guy, it just works. It's grating, and it's annoying. And, I mean, it shouldn't really be a much of a surprise, you know, because it is Jericho. So he's not exactly a dummy in the industry.
No, he's made a good living for himself knowing how and when to change. And, you know, he needed to change. Like, I mean, everyone was bagging him, and I mean, he had stayed around for a longer time, too, this time around, and I think that's kind of changed the dynamic of, you know, how he's perceived, too. Like, I feel like this is his longest stay in a few years. Like, I don't know, well, maybe I have to pull up his Wikipedia page. But, I mean, I feel like this is one of his longer runs in recent years. And if you just come back and do the goofy gimmick, like, just for a little bit of time, I guess, that's kind of the point that I'm getting to, is that it's not so bad, but when you draw it out over time, it just really wore on people and just really became overexposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, maybe because he's gotten a longer run this time, he's been able to do different things instead of get stuck in like one role. Like, what was the last time? It was him versus Bray Wyatt, right? It was like a couple months.
Yeah, that was in there. I'm trying to think of what else is he's gone through, but yeah, I mean he's had a bunch of feuds now, and
yeah.
I think that kind of helps too. Just some type of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes. Not everyone is even The Rock, so.
Well, and it's the funny thing is, like, no one's really ever gotten tired of Chris Jericho. It's seemingly like he always left right at the right time. Like, he always had heat. He always had something going on.
Right.
So, like, this time, he keeps going, and his heat keeps going. I mean, people don't like him. He gets the initial pop when the music starts, and then all he has to do is just walk out in his goofy get-up, or he talks down to the people, and he gets the booze that he's looking for.
I think people were... I was starting to get tired of him recently until the heel turn. But, I mean, that's the first time I can think of getting tired of him, though.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that was mentioned.
Oh.
Not enough people have been talking about how good he's been. So, and that match, you did see all of Raw, so...
Right.
You know, Extreme Rules was Sunday, whatever. What? I can't figure out what was going on with the Lion Salt kip-up spot.
Oh.
And because at the end of the match, somebody says, "I'm so sorry," at the end.
I did not catch that.
And I can't tell who it is.
I'm going to guess that... you'd have to defer to the veteran, I would think, but who knows? Because I don't know... I mean, he was down. I don't understand why you... Because you usually do a kip-up when you're in your comeback, and he was not in his comeback. Like, you know, you hit a move because he had just gotten hit with something. And I can't recall exactly what it was, even if it was just a shoulder back or a backdrop or something. So I did find the timing of the kip-up really weird just in that fashion. Because usually it's just like, oh, they hit a drop kick and they kip up and then they give him a super kick or whatever, you know, follows next. Like, they usually get some type of big offensive move on after that.
Well, I was thinking that the spot almost seemed like it should have been as Jericho was coming backward. Like, he'd already left the ropes coming backwards for the line, the moonsault, whatever.
Yeah.
That... Cruz was supposed to kip up so that Jericho was going to hit the ground belly first. Because you've never seen that before.
Oh.
But then it almost seemed like Cruz just kipped up too quickly, realized it, and then tried laying back down or something. Like, that's where I got lost.
It was pretty wild.
So since we mentioned Cruz,
yeah,
his call up was kind of surprising, and I don't know if that was the smartest thing right now. He's not impressing me much on he hasn't like blown my mind to what I've seen so far to warrant getting called up to Raw already, let alone. You know, he was on Raw for 2 weeks in a row, and then he was kind of gone, and now he's back this week. And I don't know if that wasn't justified or not, like him not being on Raw. Like,
well,
last night, I was like, okay, whatever, there's Cruz again, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, that's just crazy for people to think that it's a bad thing that he lost to Jericho. Like, I mean, Jericho's still above him. Like, there's no reason that... If they want to do something with him, a loss to Jericho isn't going to hurt him.
No, not at all. No.
So, but I don't know if they are going to do anything with him. Like you said, like, really, both of the call-ups that were at least a little surprising, Corbin and Cruz.
Yeah, Corbin was a surprise too, but
He's been put in a little bit better of a situation, but neither of them have been put in a very good situation.
I'll agree with you on the neither have been put in a good situation. I mean, Corbin, I think, was put in there with Ziggler because Ziggler sells offense really well. Cruz was put in there, and now I guess they seemingly started something with him and Sheamus, but then nothing happened. Like, Sheamus just had a reaction like, see, told ya, but...
Yeah, he's gonna do the old, the little guy gimmick that he likes to do is what I'm figuring is coming out of this. Which is just kind of weird since they've been pushing the power aspect of Apollo Crews too. And
thank
I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty clear also, like when they say 240, he looks like a solid dude. Like there's, I'm like, yeah, I can buy that.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. You can't do the, I mean, height-wise, sure, I guess you can do the little guy thing. But who the hell do you think you're going to fool by saying, yeah, here's this little guy that's nothing but muscles? I mean, he's always smiling. I think that's just because he works his face out somehow. It's always going to smile. I mean, the guy's just put together. So, but I...
Yeah, I mean, if you had a body like that, you might smile all the time, too.
Yeah, yes. Or cry because you're not eating anything carb-wise. No cake, no nothing. But no, I think it would also help Cruz if he was able to talk. Or, I'm sorry, allowed to talk, not able, allowed to talk. He said, what, two significant promos, and one was last night. So...
Yeah, and even that, kind of like Styles early on, they just didn't give him the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think Cruz has been given the time. It's like, somebody always comes in and interrupts, and it's just like, ah... This isn't going to work for this guy. He needs his individual time first and then worry about, you know, people butting into his conversation.
Yeah. So when it comes to, like, the comparison with Cruz and Corbin, Cruz has been bounced around from, like, superstars, main event, whatever, given little promo time, and Corbin... He's been in there with a pretty solid vet. He's gotten promo time as well.
Right.
And it's not clicking. And I don't know if it's the pairing with Ziggler or if he's just at, like, his end, like, talent-wise. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like this is about what he showed in NXT.
I think, yeah, I was waiting for that. So I was, I think the problem is in NXT, he was the big man, you know?
Oh, well, now, yeah, that is going to be a problem.
What the hell is going on? Are you hearing this?
I don't hear anything right now.
Okay.
I just hear you talking.
Okay. Well, all of a sudden I have a cancer ad playing in my head.
Oh, no, thankfully that is not coming across the airwaves.
Okay, that was fun. So anyways, no, in NXT, Corbin was the tallest dude. And maybe not the biggest, because Cruz was there, but...
Well, and Cass was kept away from him.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot about that, yeah. But I understand how big Cass is, but you always look at him and it's like, oh, tag team.
Right.
So, you know, But now Corbin moves up, and he's the lone wolf. He doesn't care about anybody. All right, cool. You can stick with that. Even though, Kevin Owens is kind of taking that over too. But he can't get by being the biggest guy. And it seems like something needs to change with that, or get him in a tag team I know there's a lot of tag teams now, but or maybe he just doesn't have it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting question. Like, I don't think he was ever that big of a fan favorite in NXT. But I did kind of agree, at least when he got the call up, that what else was he going to do there? I mean, I guess he could have had a title reign, but I'm not quite sure what that does, you know, or how that improves him on the mic. Like, it's, I guess that is the one thing. I don't know if there's any way to improve, because he's not terrible on the mic, but he's not that good either. And it's kind of like his in-ring works the same way to me. Like, I don't think he, I think he's come a long way from where he was when he first got into NXT, but I don't know if it's far enough.
Yeah, I think last night's promo with the backstage interaction with him and Ziggler, why they're having another match is beyond me. I don't know. But then it seemed like the promo ended. Then Ziggler said something, and then he had to say something else. And it was...
Oh, yeah,
it was the added dialogue at the end, going, did you guys not get the cut sign? Like, this, what just happened?
Yeah, did someone just feed into your ear, you need to fill 30 more seconds? It's just like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I had completely forgotten about that weirdness, probably just in the rush of getting through that... But
yeah,
that's a good
so
call. Yeah, because it did feel like it was the end, and then they just kind of stuck on Ziggler, and then he said something else, and it's just like, oh, that was not expected.
And it almost seemed as if Corbin cut to the end of it, and then forgot the middle portion. It was like, oh, I better just say this again, because I believe he ended it with, not ended it, well, wait. The original end point, he ended with, well, I'll see you out in the ring. Or something like that.
Yeah.
What more do you need to say? I mean, we're gonna find out in the ring. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna go to the ring so, you know, we can prove who's the best, who's better and all that, and you know, I'm gonna hurt you. No, you already said what was gonna happen. You can't add something to it, so but no, it's funny. The two call-ups that have really, Corbin's been on the pay-per-views and then also the pre-show. So, and I liked his answer though. The people are saying, you know, you took the low blow. He's like, well, why wouldn't I? It was a no disqualification match. Like, yeah. What's the problem? So I agree with him.
Yeah, it's a non-question. Really. I mean, I can understand Ziggler making the point that he's making. But still, they've fought so many times at this point. It's just like, again, to kind of go back to, like, Corbin kind of being, he's in the same spot still. Like, at least Cruz got some experience with, you know, a true veteran. And, yep. You know, I think he at least, well, and Corbin is too, but it's not as, he can't get anything else out of Ziggler.
No. And, yeah, because
they're just trying
Ziggler,
to squeeze
unfortunately,
blood out of
a
stone.
Few places above Zack Ryder.
Oh.
Ziggler is basically Zack Ryder, but he's on TV.
Yeah.
Which is funny. There, what was it? It was either Extreme Rules or it was last night. Somebody, one of the announcers blatantly said that The Miz, it was the way they framed it was that, Sami Zayn, all right, Sami Zayn cost Kevin Owens the Intercontinental Championship, allowing The Miz to win it. And I said, wait a second. Was that like just a slip and they meant to say Zack Ryder but said The Miz? Or Are they trying to just totally ignore the fact that Zack Ryder actually won at WrestleMania? I thought that was very, very interesting. Like, okay. But anyways.
Yeah, that's a possibility that that was just something of a gaffe on their part and not a true slight. But Ryder hasn't pretty much been anywhere. I mean, he's gotten more TV time, but I was just already laughing that he tweeted out today about being on Superstars this week.
Oh, good for him. He's on TV at least. That's all you can ask.
Oh, I just laughed when I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if it really isn't as if Raw was a bad show either. You know, still too long. It was heavy wrestling influence, which, you know, I'm always for.
And that's one thing that it has typically driven me a little crazy in these qualifying matches, is that they've made them gimmies. And I like the fact that none of them, like, I think there were some obvious winners, but the match wasn't so, none of them were squash matches. Like, I feel like they have some squash matches sometimes, and it's just like, ugh. I'd rather see, the Owens and Styles fight was kind of a perfect one. And even the two matches that had interference. Because I'm trying to think. Because didn't two of them have interference?
No. What am I missing? Jericho Cruz was clean. Ambrose and Ziggler was clean.
Oh, no, that's
actually
right.
You know what?
Because I expected, that's right, that was clean. Oh, that was clean. Yeah, no, I guess. I'm thinking, I thought that somebody at least came out and distracted someone. But okay. Yeah, that was reserved for other stuff.
Okay, see, that's why the whole show, we had pretty much clean finishes, you know, for as clean as some finishes get, okay? So that's why when they had that weird segment with AJ Styles and Anderson and Gallows, like, it would seem kind of forced, but whatever. It is what it is. It's what they wanted to do. And it almost seemed like a perfect time in a show that had no outside interference. You know, AJ, they get pissy, they come out and cost him the match.
Oh.
So I was kind of waiting for it, and it never happened. And then Owens just went over clean, which is great, but it's so surprising. And the reason it's surprising is it almost seems as if nobody ever gets the advantage going through. Like, I understand Owens lost technically. You know, he did lose at the pay-per-view in the Four Corners match, okay?
Right.
But he's been going over pretty good.
Agreed.
So it's kind of a surprise to see somebody go through that, because we're so used to even Steven stuff. I mean, he beat Sami Zayn at the pay-per-view. He won the tag team match they were in. He beat Cesaro on SmackDown and then... You know, loses the pay-per-view. But even then, he didn't get pinned. So
right.
And then this week he beats he just beat the guy that was in the main event of the pay-per-view the night before, who Roman Reigns had to go through all of this to beat him. And then Kevin Owens beats him clean without having to throw him through two tables and the barriers and all that stuff. And that's why I should be an announcer, because those idiots never once mentioned any of this stuff.
That could have been noted. It may have been a little too late at night when I was watching for me to think about that.
Yeah, it's remarkable the difference in announcers and what they're supposed to say and get over compared to what they should be to sell the product. But I guess they are selling the product, so that's not exactly true. But to get over what's going on in the ring, they... Oh, well.
They could be better.
Yes. Well, and really, the instructions they're given could be better. So, if you listen to... And this isn't a Jim Ross is better thing. But listen to a Jim Ross. Or hell, listen to a Tony Schiavone stuff. Like, during the Attitude Era. And yeah, it's an Attitude Era, whatever. They're talking about the match. They're talking about angles going on during the match or what's going on. And it wasn't until later that Schiavone and Zbysko and all them just fell apart. But
right,
they were getting over the moves. JR was getting over what was going on in the ring, where nowadays, and it's only partly the announcer's fault, really, because they have to worry about talking about Twitter, talking about this, talking about this. Oh, there's a dropkick. And then talk about this. And then, these forced-ass, this forced poor chemistry. Can you explain to me why Byron Saxon's out there?
No, not really. Okay. He isn't the problem, but he isn't the solution either.
He's not
because
much of anything.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough to come back against JBL when he should. But then there are just times where JBL is just doing whatever, and it's just like, how the fuck do you expect anyone to answer this? like it's hard to even bust his balls. It's just like, dude, you're just completely off the rails right now. Like, no one could do anything with that.
Yeah. He brought up something on the pay-per-view about, this is the same building or something from 1898. And Cole even said, where did you get that from? Like, have I not been paying attention? Is this kind of JBL's gimmick right now, to where he just comes up with these absurd references, and the rest of us just have to deal with it? Like, it was so out of the blue.
Well, his references are really one of my hobbies. I think reviewing the show, because I always love how. He does a terrible job with them, even kind of describing them. Like, he does the English Premier League stuff all the time, and he's been doing it for a while now, but he just doesn't seem to know how to integrate that into what he's actually saying. It just seems awkward constantly. He does that with all kinds of information, like the 1887 thing, but that type of one is a recurring one, I guess, at least. Some of them are just one-offs, and you're like, what the fuck?
Well, he actually brought up Slave Girl Moolah the other day, and I was like, whoa, really? One, I... That gimmick nowadays would be poo-pooed, but just no one really remembers how that's how Moolah started. Like, everyone just remembers Moolah as, you know, Moolah. So that I thought that was kind of funny. I don't know. The WWE seems to be doing things right. Even you can argue the Roman Reigns thing back and forth, can't you? Or is that just now just the passé John Cena thing?
Well, I'll tell you what. It is at least a little bit interesting. With Seth Rollins coming back, which, you know, definitely should be gotten to.
Yeah, that's where I was going, actually.
And... If he is their guy and they really want him to stick, I mean, he's kind of got to beat Rollins, right? You know, if you're sticking behind him, because again, to go back to the, isn't it a little too early? Like, a month later isn't that much longer. I feel like we were talking about at least a reign to SummerSlam or something of that nature. Excuse me. If Reigns won it, just because, I mean, he needs some significant time period, and it'll be interesting. Like, that match with AJ Styles really helped. Like, the match at WrestleMania wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be. And maybe it was just a clunker for reasons we don't completely know.
Wait, which, you're talking about the Roman Reigns
and Triple H? Yeah, but I mean, he definitely, because I felt like Reigns could have a good match when he had more of a, you know, facilitator in there. And AJ Styles definitely helped prove that he can have a good match again, a couple of times.
I think the reason that match was a clunker at WrestleMania is it was a Triple H match. And that's not Triple H bashing, but he throws out some garbage here and there. I thought, was it Mick Foley just talking about how that should have just been him, Roman Reigns, going out and basically dominating almost the entire match? But anyways.
Okay. it would have made a little more sense.
Yeah, I mean, if they're so, stubborn. I mean, it's hard to say whether they're being stubborn or not, because the crowd reactions obviously are boo. And it's not a, you know, boo, you're a bad guy. It's a boo, we don't like you, go away, sort of booing. And now they're trying to turn it around and say, you know, it doesn't matter if he's liked or disliked, people are passionate about him. Yeah, that's only so far. But the thing is, he also came in, I think, number 5 in merchandise sales. I think it was 5, I believe. I think we talked about this over WrestleMania.
I don't remember where he came in. I remember New Day being number 1, which in no way is shocking.
Yeah. But, so, it's the John Cena thing, man. You know, people boo and this and that, but, you know, Cena was number 1 merch, and this is just 4 steps down. I'm just going to go with number 5, I may be wrong.
Right.
So someone clearly, people are clearly into him enough to buy his stuff.
Oh, and we even saw, you know, plenty, I think we mentioned it in the podcast at WrestleMania, how many people had his merchandise on. Like, we saw a whole family of them at the BW3s before we went into AT&T Stadium.
Yeah.
Or no, they were in our hotel. Weren't they staying in our hotel? Whatever the case.
Oh, yes. Because it was, the wife had, it's a Roman Reigns world. I'm just living in it or something like that. Or yeah. I'm a Roman Reigns girl, something like that.
Yeah. It was something around that area.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know, but you started hearing a little bit. There was the chant of "You can't wrestle," but then there was it was audible, low audible, but it was still audible of a "Yes, he can" chant to counteract it.
Oh,
so there's already, or maybe that his fans are just finally fed up enough to be vocal finally, and instead of just shutting up and saying, ugh, these guys or gals.
That is kind of funny, because there's just been a lot of dueling chants at this point in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're, and I think we've talked about this, I don't think it's going away. So, you know, the fact that his people wouldn't defend him was kind of weird, but I feel like they were doing a better job at the pay-per-view. And even on Raw Monday night.
Yeah. the thing is, it's... This is the Roman Reigns that was in the Shield. This, I mean, we're essentially getting... He doesn't... You know, they drive that... They drive that saying, I'm not a good guy, bad guy, I'm the guy, whatever. They've driven that into the ground. But if you go back and look at the Shield, he didn't say much. He just came out and challenged, and basically if there was a fight, you challenged to a fight.
Oh.
What is he doing differently now? And I don't get where the hate is. Now, like for me, I'm not a big fan of his, so I want to see somebody else beat him just as a fan.
Right. Well, and it was almost funny just because Seth Rollins' speech to start Raw was pretty much stating the case for Roman Reigns. He's just like, you booed me when I turned on these guys.
Yes.
Like, I have liked, at least with AJ Styles and with it, now the beginning with Seth Rollins, like, there's a definite way to say I understand both sides of this argument. You know, there is some interesting believability to the anger issues, at least in the main event. So I do think I like the way that they're going. I'm still surprised in some way, just because, I mean, you could really you could really make Roman Reigns the bad guy here if you wanted to, with the reaction that Seth Rollins got returning.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose not to go there.
I really enjoyed the Seth Rollins promo, because he's always been kind of disingenuous. I mean, so when he came out and he's like, yeah, let me have it, the whole time you're just waiting for him to say, him and say and do exactly what he did at the end of that promo. And he's absolutely right, which is the weird thing. It's a heel, not like, it's a heel, and usually, you know, they'll bend the truth or whatever, but he's not bending the truth.
Right.
Everything he said was true, so he has every right to be like, the hell with you guys. And then, like you were just pointing out, conversely, Roman Reigns, you used to love me, but because I took Daniel Bryan's place at WrestleMania 31, you hate me. You've hated me ever since. I mean, I think we're getting a year and a half removed from him saying suffering succotash.
Oh.
Or whatever that was.
Right.
I think people still have that Roman Reigns in their head. Not the guy that comes out and basically just takes care of business. The guy we liked in the Shield.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like, for the most part, I've stuck up for him, like, just not understanding what the problem is, because for the most part, I've liked his matches. As I said, not a fan of what happened at WrestleMania, but, you know, whatever, everybody has a bad one every now and again. It's just bad that it happened on the big stage.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to this matchup, I was kind of surprised they're going to it already. I mean, unless the plan is still for Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, it just seems like, all right, you could have delayed it, but then I don't know who you give Roman Reigns in the meantime. I didn't have a backup for that.
But I'm trying to quickly think of one, and I'm not completely sure who that is.
We could have said Bray Wyatt, but, you know, he's down.
Yeah, his name did leap to mind, but I'm like, oh, well, so much for that one.
Yeah. I mean, currently Dean Ambrose, but, you know, they're not going to that.
No, although that was another part of the story that they told on Raw that I did enjoy a lot, was that they mentioned that Dean Ambrose could win the Money in the Bank and make it a three-way match at Money in the Bank.
Oh, wow, that, okay, I missed that. That'd be pretty cool, actually. But do you want to give a Shield triple threat match away at Money in the Bank, like, unannounced? Which I know they like doing, but...
Well, and I guess that's what I was going to follow it up with, is I don't think they're going to do it. but I do like the idea that they're floating it out there. Because it would be, I mean, that's a huge match. Like, you've got to really, like, yeah, I don't think you Money in the Bank that match.
Nah.
You know, the storyline that they've told with Seth Rollins, to me, is different than doing that match at, you know, a nothing pay-per-view. Well, not a nothing.
Yeah.
It's probably the fifth biggest pay-per-view. I shouldn't say that, because I was really excited that was in town here last year.
Okay, well, I know it's kind of off the topic, but doesn't a Shield triple threat match just seem inevitable? Like, it's something that's they have to do, right?
Well, at this point, yeah. Like, at various points, you could say that, you know, maybe Ambrose wasn't there yet. Because Rollins definitely got the push first, at least being the one that turned on everybody. And Roman Reigns didn't have long, but he did have to play a little catch-up. it was pretty quick, but you know, it did happen. So all three guys though now are back on equal footing.
Yeah.
Like Ambrose hasn't really been in the title matches, but you know, he's had as much airtime as anybody in wrestling recently.
Yeah. So if they do end up going with it, what pay-per-view would this be suitable for? It can't be a, like, I don't know, Payback or something. Doesn't it have to be Survivor Series, SummerSlam, WrestleMania? Because isn't a Shield, like, it's not a reunion of sorts, but to have all three back in the ring again. Because I think a lot of people forget how big the Shield actually got.
They're the only... Well, I shouldn't say that. New Day was the first ones to crack the vault on being a good group since the Shield. And before the Shield, I can't tell you what group really... I mean, really, was it DX before that? No, Evolution would have been after.
Yeah.
So I'd give that an overall plus. but whatever. I guess I don't feel like they do factions very well.
I think factions also become a bit overrated after a while. Because everybody wants to talk about the Four Horsemen, which was a totally different era. Then you had the NWO, which, when it was small, was, you know, fine. You know, you had the Outsiders.
Bloated.
And then Hulk Hogan as champion, you know. And then Xbox had six, had the Cruiserweight title. And I don't remember if anyone had the United States title or not, but I think that was reserved mainly for the WCW guys. I have at least something to fight over. But no, I think that's where inevitably it's going to go. It's got to. Because Dean Ambrose can't wait around with nothing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it would be sooner, but again, like, as big as I think Money in the Bank is, I don't think that happens at Money in the Bank. I think that it happens sometime later.
Alright. That's fair
like
enough.
You said, it'd either be SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, or WrestleMania. I mean, again, like, Survivor Series really isn't It's only a big name and name alone, you know,
Yeah.
historical name at this point.
Unless they use that match to carry one of these. Well, I mean, it's not even a carry anymore. They don't care about pay-per-views anymore. I mean, I'm sure they enjoy the extra money from the dunces out there that buy them, but not a huge priority.
Right.
But yeah, so we've got that. They filled in the Money in the Bank guys for the most part with, Owens, Zayn, Cesaro. Uh-oh, I'm missing the, who are the other two? Oh,
Well,
Ambrose
no,
and.
aren't they filling in too at
Yeah,
on
filling two at
SmackDown?
SmackDown tonight.
And I have I as usual am spoiler free, so
Yeah, I don't know. It's still,
I'm
I
not
don't know if it's over or
sure.
not, but.
But they have a couple of storylines in the Money in the Bank match itself already, which is always helps out.
What I'm trying to figure, who the hell am I missing? You have Owens, Zayn, Cesaro. Oh my God, I just Ambrose. There's a fifth one. Who the hell's the fifth one?
Jericho?
Thank you. Thank you. That's right. Yeah, because
Huh.
he buried Apollo Crews. That's right. I forgot we were talking about that earlier. So.
Yeah, it was I buried Apollo Crews. Deal with
Yeah. But
it.
now Raw's good. Again, it's too long.
Oh, yeah. That can be the complaint until it's not 3 hours, which is not gonna happen anytime
Yeah.
soon.
I mean, Enzo gave it a bit of a shot in the arm for a while.
Yeah, that was one where as much as I like him, I think there are times that he just kind of doesn't do that well. And that was one of them.
He was cracking me up, dude.
Oh.
Not so much his promo, whatever.
Well, yeah,
He was
that's
so excited he dropped the mic off of the stage and without missing a beat, ran and got it and ran around to the stage again. And he was in the ring just going nuts in the ring. Like the energy was off the charts, and that was just making me laugh. I mean, besides the fact he's a goofy looking dude too. I mean, by choice, obviously. But yeah,
Right.
Yeah, that cracked me up. And thank God, because Cass needs someone to talk for him. Oh, boy.
I thought he did okay for himself, but there's a reason the team is the team. Like, that's one of those ones that it'll be interesting down the line to see if they ever separate them or if they're two guys that are just they're stuck. You know.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Kaz as a singles wrestler, but you know what? Everyone's got time, so
Yeah.
you don't you never want to say the guy's never going to make it, but
Well, and he definitely has he has some time. I do at least think that he's relatively youngish.
oh yeah, but well, hey, they kept him on TV without Enzo, so they got something for him at least, so that's
Right.
nice. I mean, it's a little different. He got squash matches with the Dudleys, which is kind of a weird thing to say, but and
Right.
then there's Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews barely getting on the shows, so they see something in it.
Right.
But
Anything else to add?
I think, well, it's weird plugging other podcasts, but we talk about what we listen to. I found the oh well, man, I forgot her name. Whatever her real name is, she used to play Cameron, Arion.
Oh.
She's on the Steve Austin podcast, and it's right after she got released. The first thing she says is she has 2 degrees. She was actually going to go to grad school and then medical school to become a doctor.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. The reason this is shocking is you've seen Total Divas. If this is the case, if she's telling the truth, which I actually believe her, she doesn't sound anything like her character on Total Divas. She doesn't act like it. She's well thought out, reasoned opinions, all this stuff throughout it. She gets emotional at times.
Right.
And I'm not dumb enough to go, well, Total Divas is real. But just how fake is that show?
Oh.
is it literally written? Because, you know, she's got her girl by, which I'm sure was like a marketing thing, but then she's trying to get her, you know, get her music going and this and this. But the first thing she says on Steve Austin's podcast is that she was about to become a doctor when she tried out for Tough Enough. She just figured, why not? I'm young, I'll try out for Tough Enough. And then all that happened with her.
That's crazy.
But yet, you see her on Total Divas, and she's this, you know, vapid, empty vessel of a woman, like, of a young woman. So it's your typical, like, seemingly 20-year-old chick.
Yeah, she seems like a real idiot.
Like, yeah. It's just unlikable, unbearable. Anything you can say pretty much went with her. But yet, you hear this podcast where it's just her talking, and it's like, why? The reason I wanted to bring this up was, why can't we get that instead of, you know, on Total Divas? Show the real people, you know? Why make up a wrestling character and then on TV make up another character? That's far more fascinating to me. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but I think it's far more fascinating to find out that these wrestlers aren't just big dumb jocks. Like Xavier Woods, Xavier Woods PhD, because he's trying to become a PhD. He's trying to get his master's. But if he was on Total Divas, he'd probably, you know, be like trying to scam chicks all the time or just something stupid like that. Right. Instead of getting into the heart of the matter.
Yeah, it's pretty weird who, because, I mean, they always say to amp up your personality, and that just, like you said, it seems weird if that's her real personality. You know, it just would not fit with where she was going.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it was a doctorate in sociology. Hold on. Yeah, was it a medical doctor?
Yes, he's a medical doctor, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But instead we get her fighting with her boyfriend, Vinny, and all this other stuff. Like, didn't she also have some sort of medical issue?
I feel like it. Because I only watched maybe the first season and a half, so I tapped out at some juncture. But yeah, like, I guess, and even her chances to reinvent herself, you know, because, I mean, she never got on, she didn't get on NXT very much.
Yeah, she addresses all this stuff, too.
Oh, does she?
Yes.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, that's good, because I've liked, I'm trying to think of who the other guy was that recently got released to talk to Austin.
Oh, Hornswoggle.
Oh, Hornswoggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I thought that his interview was really fascinating. I mean, he's obviously coming at it from a completely different point. Like, he had to have known at some juncture that he only had something of a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way he sat there and said, I'm in this for the long haul. The fact that he was there as long as he was is pretty incredible, honestly.
Yeah, he was much more upbeat in his interview than she is in hers.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I thought he drew some interesting stuff and, like, just filled in the horn, you know, the person behind the character. So, I mean, it's pretty cool to hear that he did the same thing with the former Cameron.
Yeah, well, and that's where it just kind of blew my mind, because not only did he bring out, like, the person behind the Cameron character, he brought the person out behind the Ariana character, too.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... Basically what it comes down to is, fuck that show. They're doing a disservice to these women. Fuck that show big time.
Yeah. I mean, they did not help her out. Much like Natty, I think, and we mentioned this, could always make it up in the ring for her insolence on that show. But Cameron didn't have that, so that really kind of did not help her at all.
Yeah. But it also makes me now look at Natalya in a different light as well.
Oh.
how much of that stuff is put on for the show? How much is that given to her to be like? You know,
Right.
even like Nikki Bella, she always just seems like this bitchy, materialistic thing, and possibly. But again, how do we know? You know? I mean, the whole fake drama with that Dolph Ziggler stuff and...
Oh.
You know?
What? That was made up?
Yeah. Because trust me, do you really think that would be... If that was true, do you think Dolph Ziggler would still be working there?
Oh.
No. Not a chance in hell. So...
Oh, man.
I just wanted to bring that up. I suggest everyone check it out and give her a chance.
Yeah.
And never watch Total Divas again.
Hopefully I'll... Well, I wasn't going to watch Total Divas again anyway, but...
Yeah. Well, mostly women watch that show anyway, so I don't...
Yeah, I still can't get the wife to do a report on it, although she puts herself through the suffering for some reason.
Oh, no. If it's on in the background, if I'm doing something else, sure, but I will never go out of my way to watch that show, so... But yeah, that's all I wanted to bring up. And then, you know, Cody Rhodes left, but... Okay, cool.
Oh, he did? I didn't.
Yes.
I did not see that news.
Yes, he requested his release over the weekend, and it was granted. But his release is conditional. He still can't go work for anybody.
Oh.
So I don't get how that works. All right, hey, I'm quitting. Okay, cool. We'll accept your resignation, but you're not allowed to go get another job. What? Wait, what? I mean, I understand he signed a contract, but if you release him from it, then...
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to know. Well, just like, when Austin was talking to Hornswoggle there, like, I already know that he's booked at a show. An absolutely intense wrestling. So, I mean, it just can't be on TV. It can be on internet TV just fine.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if his part in it will be on TV, but still, he might be able to work some stuff. But wasn't he trying to get into comics or something crazy like that?
I'm not sure about that one. I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
I thought that's why he got so deep into the Arrow thing.
You're talking about Cody Rhodes?
Cody Rhodes, yeah.
No, he said he wants to wrestle still.
Oh.
Basically what happened was he was supposed to turn back into Cody Rhodes for WrestleMania. Vince McMahon said yes, and then at the last second, Vince McMahon said no.
Oh.
So he actually laid out a whole program for how he's going to turn, he's not going to do this anymore, and it just all went by the wayside. And then he blasted some of the writers, saying it was the writer's fault, and accusing one of just being too busy worrying about hitting on the NXT divas or women or whatever. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. You can find it on he put it up himself. Like his statement, it's his words. So you can find it on his Twitter account. It's worth the read. So
right.
But and it sucks cuz I think there was something more they could have done with him. I don't think he was ever going to be a huge talent, though. But you never know, because you don't get a chance.
Oh, so. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so. I guess it would be, I'm sure that the no-compete evaporates at some point, or else he wouldn't have taken it.
Well, I'm surprised that these no-complete clauses are still in there, because Del Rio and Punk both successfully got out of theirs.
Oh,
so, you know.
Right.
But, whatever. But, yeah, so, I mean, I still think WWE's looking up. With Cena coming back next week, and you got Bray Wyatt coming back, Lesnar's still out there. We're in for a pretty interesting time, I think. And apparently there's still big plans for AJ Styles. So, we'll see. I mean, it'll be a decent ride. As long as people stop bitching about Roman Reigns, it'll be fine. So...
Well then, for DeFrango 11 and at Granny Mays for the brand at Stunt Granny, everybody have a good night.